Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
What's the craziest thing you've seen on a plane? Now, shout out to Australian Airlines in general. We're obviously going to be sharing stories that you listening are about to tell on 131060, and we have our own personal stories as well. But on the whole, having travelled the world and been lucky enough to do that, obviously pre-COVID, I have seen some shocking airlines and some terrible people on flights. So America sort of like ticks all the boxes for that.
Yeah.
A lot of self-entitled people hopping on a plane, usually a lot larger than the seat allows, therefore encouraging arguments.
I feel like a lot of the videos that you see on social media when it's anything on a plane is in the States.
Always. Always on a Delta flight, which is ironic. So I saw three articles, all separate incidents this week coming out of the US, and it was flight attendants having to duct tape passengers to chairs. Now, a la the Wolf of Wall Street when he wakes up in seatbelts restrained to his chair.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. In fact, I've got audio of one guy. This is what he's screaming while three flight attendants and some passengers are holding him down while he's being duct taped to a chair.
Let's go.
You guys suck. My parents are worth $4 million goddamn dollars.
You guys all effing suck. My parents have $2 million.
Wow. Okay, as a passenger on a plane, like, you know, I'm okay with flying, but I'm like, you know, I get a little bit nervous. Just hearing that on a plane or being on a plane with that person would freak me out.
So I have a two-pronged question for everyone listening, and we'll tell our stories in a second.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've seen on a plane? And are you a flight attendant listening? And do you actually keep duct tape handy on planes in the galley ready to get somebody to tie to a chair?
I'm sure it's just to fix any cracks that happen in the window and stuff like that, right?
Surely either way, I want to know. Do you have duct tape? Now, Jules, you said that you had a story that could have made you millions.
Oh, my gosh. Look, it's actually really creepy. I was on a plane maybe 9 years ago from Sydney to Melbourne, and I sat down in my chair. I was on my own, and a couple sat in front of me, and the husband was in front of me. And in the middle of the flight, he dropped his hand down the side of his chair and was trying to grab my foot.
Oh, Lord.
And I was freaking out, like trying to move away. And I was like, oh, you know, and then he'd move his hand back. And then every now and again, his hand would just drop. And then as it became near the end of the flight, he was really trying to grab my foot. And I got the hostess coming over because I wanted to move before the plane landed and she wouldn't let me move because the seatbelt sign was on and I had to sit there while this guy, I'm trying to hide my foot from this guy.
131060, are you a flight attendant and do you have duct tape ready to get passengers stuck to chairs? And what's the craziest thing you've seen on a plane?
All right, let's go to Josh from Broadbeach. Now, you are an international flight attendant for Emirates.
That's correct. Well, before COVID, I was a flight attendant.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, babe, sorry about that.
Yeah. Do you keep duct tape in the galley? Because that's all I keep seeing on these American flights.
Okay, I can confirm we do not have duct tape, but we do use a restraining kit. So it's a little bit more professional.
Wow, you've actually got a kit specific to keep people in their seats.
Exactly, yeah. I can't tell you where it is located, but every flight attendant does know where it is, just in case.
Is there only one pack?
So interesting.
Or is there like multiple?
There is only one pack, and it is only for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use things like seat belts to restrain people in addition to that, which obviously has been used.
Wow.
Jeez, an Emirates restraint pack. Love is it that. Louis Vuitton?
thank you, Josh. Ken in Rockhampton, what's the craziest thing you've seen on a plane? Ken?
Our engine was on fire while we were taxiing down the runway.
Oh, no way. And so you're on the ground?
Yeah, it was in Laos. We were over in Asia on a holiday, and on the back of the seat it said, in case of emergencies, remove seat cushion and use as flotation device. I was nudging my wife and just showing her that as we were taxiing down the runway, and then everyone's jumped up from their seats from the front of the plane and started running down the middle of the plane, and here's the engine on fire one of the wings.
No, thank you. How are we going to beat that?
It's like nightmares, 100%. All right, Jessica from Gosford, good morning.
Morning.
What's your story?
What have you seen?
So I was in Mongolia a couple of years ago, and there were about eight giant golden eagles on the plane.
Oh, what? My gosh. I've seen photos of this. Emirates, I think, they transfer peregrine falcons for, like, sheiks and stuff.
Oh, I thought that was all photoshopped.
No, that's... You were on a flight with golden eagles. Do they have their helmets on?
Yeah, but, like, some of them were just sitting loose on the... Because they were with the... There was some sort of eagle hunting competition.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. I've been trying to get selfies with them all.
So good. And we'll finish with Monica. What is the craziest thing you've seen on a plane?
Yeah, I was actually 19 at the time, coming home back from South America, and there was a young girl my age as well, and she was going just crazy. They couldn't calm her down. She kept saying people wanted to kill her. She was hallucinating. Oh. So they asked if anybody spoke Spanish, because that's all the language she was speaking at the time, and screaming. So they asked me to go and help her out. So I tried to calm her down. When the plane stopped, they actually asked me to go down first with her. Yeah. So I did, and I walked her out, and nothing was checked for her, like no baggage was checked or anything like that. And as she was found her family and walked away, she looked back at me and smiled and winked. So she had only just put it all on just for show. And obviously she must have had something in her bag that maybe she shouldn't have had, and they didn't even check her, and she got away with it.
God. Whatever she had, it sounds like she actually...
Like, I'm 52 now. The look on her face, I will never forget, because she looked back at me, gave me a smile and winked.
Wow. Whatever she had, it sounds like she took it.
Yeah. Dylan, Jules and Angus, this is Weekend Breakfast.
In big news.
You're lucky she even performed for you, b***hard. Leave Britney alone!
Yes, hashtag free Britney. Can you believe this movement's been going since 2009? We're in 2021 and I feel like now we're only just starting to see some movement. Two things this world needs right now: to be free of COVID and for Britney Spears to be free. Now, news
we have
broke.
Very different ideas of what's important at the moment.
News broke yesterday with Britney Spears' dad, Jamie, coming out saying that he is intending to not be her conservator anymore. We've got Dean McCarthy, who is our very own Hollywood reporter, joining us from LA. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, this is the free Britney moment that we've been waiting for. Everyone, if you've been playing along at home, just to bring it up to speed, Britney's been in this conservatorship for 13 years, right? So for 13 years, her dad has controlled every single aspect of her life, her finances, her medical, her personal life, and now her father is finally stepping down as head of the conservatorship. So what does that mean for Britney? Is she free yet? Well, kind of. She's free from her dad. She'll still be in the conservatorship.
Okay.
And they'll bring in another conservator to kind of lead it until, you know, hopefully the conservatorship is done and dusted forever. So it's very exciting. Great day for the Free Britney and all the fans.
So I will sort of, in a way, be in control of my child's life for 13 years, you know, giving her a bedtime, telling her what dinner that she's going to have at night. What's the difference between Britney Spears and her dad as an adult? What does he control in her life?
Yes, good question. Well, it's probably some of the things you just mentioned he was in control of. So put it this way, right? So he was not only in control of everywhere she went, for example. So he was in charge of her security team, and they allowed her to go to different places. So she would have to ask if she could go to the mall or whatever. As well as that, he was in control of all of her finances. Now, to give you some numbers, this is so wild. She did the Vegas residency, right, and made $170 million. Her dad gave her an allowance of $2,000 a week. So Britney Spears, when she was living in Vegas doing $500,000 a show, was only getting given $2,000 a week. So he controlled her finances, where she could go, who she could be with. He could literally control who was allowed to go to their house and be near her. So it's really wild. It's really, really full on.
Look, I'm not taking anything.
Usually for someone.
I'm not taking anything away from, you know, that whole situation or anything, but I wish somebody put a budget on me when I was in Las Vegas, because if I could take my time back and not hit those tables, maybe I wouldn't be so poor.
Hey, babe, do we have any idea who the new one will be? Like, now that he's going to step down, are they thinking it's going to be another family member?
Oh, great question. No, it actually won't be, thank goodness. It's going to be someone who's experienced in this kind of area. So conservatorships are usually reserved if someone has gone into a coma or someone has dementia. It's for people who are essentially unable to make decisions for themselves, right? So there's people that are trained in this. So it'll be someone like a lawyer. And the good thing about this, right, is that the conservator coming in isn't going to be so obsessed with her personal life. So the dad was obsessed with who she dated and things like that. This conservator will come in and you know, be more in control of, like, her finances and things like that. But the goal is this, right? So for 13 years, Brittany always had this one lawyer. His name was Sam, and he was actually given to her. She didn't get to choose her lawyer. But a month ago, the judge said to her, all right, you are finally given the chance and approval to go and get your own lawyer. And she was like, amazing. So she got this guy who's like the bulldog of Hollywood. He's like Steven Spielberg's lawyer. He's come in and said, right, I'm dedicating my entire law firm to have this conservatorship ended. First, we're going to get rid of the dad, step one. Step two, we're getting rid of the conservatorship. So I think, you know, he made more progress in 3 weeks than they have in 13 years. So it's a good time for Brittany. She's got a good team on her hands finally.
Nice.
Okay, babe, last question for me. Just is it, when will we see this result, like the new conservatorship come in?
Yeah. Oh, so here's the thing, right? It was such a slow process, and all of a sudden she gets this new lawyer and he sped it all up, and 3 weeks later the dad's gone. The next hearing is in September, the official hearing, the next stage. They haven't actually filed to end the conservatorship yet. The first filing was to get rid of the dad. So we could see the conservatorship over by the end of the year. The thing is this, Brittany wants it over, and she also wants it over with no medical evaluation. So up until now, they've used all these doctors that are like, no, she can't. You know, she can't make decisions for herself. We need the conservatorship. She wants all of them out of the way, and she wants it dropped, and that's that. And the judge will decide. It's an interesting time for the judge. The judge has had to have personal security. Everyone has got security because the fans have just, like, gone wild.
Jeez.
So hopefully it's over sooner rather than later.
Yeah, all right, babe. Thanks so much for filling us in. I mean, the way this is moving, we might have a result next week, and we'll probably talk to you then again.
Yes. The second we have more, we'll chat then. Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Dean.
Love you.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
But let's talk about a movie, not Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, but his new one called Free Guy. I got to chat to one of its stars. Let's introduce you to some people who don't know in the radio world who Laserbeam is. In 2014, he was a construction worker. And then in 2015, he became a gamer and a YouTuber. And now he's a movie star in 2021. What an escalation.
There's a lot, probably a few more details in those steps that have been, you know, missed out on, but that's not important. It's definitely been a interesting jump.
For my mum who listens. I think,
That's fair. Keeping it simple, I like it.
I watched the movie yesterday. It's really cool to see essentially gaming going mainstream with having like heartthrob Ryan Reynolds at the helm of it. When did you find out your involvement in it? Because this movie's been like promoted before COVID, right? They're like holding on to it till finally people can see it.
It got delayed for a year. I was very surprised because, I mean, you have a Facebook stream, you know, it's just like, it doesn't really change. Like, even if you grow and scale up, it's like you're still just sitting at your setup making videos, right?
Yeah.
So one day I'm just probably sitting there in my pajamas playing Fortnite, recording a video or something like that. And you just get a phone call saying they've sourced like YouTubers for this movie and they want you to be a part of it to try and make it authentic as possible.
Yeah.
Once they sort of explain the movie and like you having seen it, like you sort of know how the characters fit into it, it makes sense, right? But like at the time I was like, I'm not an actor. Like what do they want? Like I have no idea how to act. I'm scared of any social situation. Like why do they want me?
But I walked out of there thinking this is the Truman Show in the world that we now live. Do you now think, I mean, as a man who has cameras on in the whole time and it's sort of your job, do you now think, is there an ultimate universe that I'm actually being played by a 14-year-old girl?
Bro. Deep. I could go down this rabbit hole for hours. What is existence, my friend? Mm-hmm. What is anything? We could all be in a simulation. So, I mean, look, I'm pretty agnostic in the sense of like, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I 100% could be played by some like 14-year-old alien girl.
100%.
That is just playing some streamer simulator, like Earth Streamer Simulator or something like that.
Down that rabbit hole as well, are people colorblind or is that just a mistake in coding that you're different, your blue is a brown to me?
Any sort of like problem or any different thing is just like a breakup in code or something. Mm-hmm. No, man.
So Laserbeam, technically you are on screen with Ryan Reynolds, but never in the same shot. So was there any interaction at all with Ryan himself?
Never got to meet him. Yeah. He does follow me on Twitter. That's all I got.
Oh, you got a Twitter
but
follow?
I'm very grateful for that. And I've said for many months that we're best friends.
Sure.
He's liked like two of my tweets, but I appreciated it. So I sometimes think like, damn, is he seeing my like my random crap posts and stuff that I'm putting on Twitter, like my ramblings about Fortnite or some game or
I got the One Direction boys following YouTube. Me, and I do the same thing. I'm like, I just posted toasty, and I'm like,
yeah, look,
I don't know if that's
it's best not
content.
To think. Yeah, okay. It's best not to think. Best if they didn't like us, they probably just muted this, so good they don't point. See it anyway.
Well, congratulations, man. From a tradie to a gamer to a YouTuber and now on the big screen for the movie Free Guy, which is out now. Congrats, Laserbeam.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There you go.
See, if I was him, I would have just lied and said, yeah, best mates with Ryan.
I'd take a Twitter follow any day from Ryan Reynolds. He's hilarious on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I've got to get in the movies now. Grow my Facebook stream. Grow my Facebook
stream. Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Jules, we just had Laserbeam on the air. Laserbeam being a gamer and YouTuber with over 21 million subscribers and 7 mm-hmm. billion views. Mm-hmm. And I played our interview with him. Yeah. But then I didn't play one question that I left out of that interview because I want to play it for you now and find out what your answer to this question would be as well. Okay? So here's the question. You're going to hear it within my one to Laserbeam, the YouTuber. You ready?
Yeah.
Think about this situation. If given the opportunity, go into like a pod as the human that you are, the living, breathing organism that exists that is Laserbeam, would you go into like a pod where you are fed sustenance through a tube but you live in a VR alternate reality that is the perfect life? And so you forget Laserbeam lives in a pod because you live essentially what is Free Guy's movie. You can do whatever you want in this alternate world.
Who's to say we already haven't done that in the extra layer up, man?
Oh!
But I think I would definitely do that if I'm like some old dude. But
yeah, go back to being a young
guy. I think it scares me too much in the short term. Mm-hmm. And I think there will be like VR worlds old people can live in and stuff in like 60 years.
Yeah.
So I'm keen. I'm keen for those like nursing homes where we're all strapped into like VR setups and we can just be young and fit again.
Would you do the same, Jules? What would you do?
Yeah, I actually would, but I'd do it now. Why wouldn't you do it now?
Okay.
I mean, well, I'm just thinking like if you do it when you're older, like just say you got, you know, 5 years left in you, like if you die in the pod, does that mean you die in the virtual? Okay, yeah, no, I'll do it now. I'll get more
so
more
what
time.
Would your perfect, what difference would your perfect life look like?
Oh, gosh. You know
Would you live in this current world but everything goes right, or would you just go crazy and jetpack across the world, or maybe have 100%. Your own wings and fly?
Absolutely, man. It would just be one of the, you know, I'd just love, you know, be able to jump up into the sky and fly to the next country and go traveling, you know, rather than waiting at the line at airports and things like that. I would probably take more risks in life knowing that, well, if I died, I can just come back and gain a new life and keep on going. I'd live life to the absolute extreme. I feel like I do to a certain extent now, but there's always that fear, you know.
So you would chuck on the VR headset and create your own best life. Well, why don't you just create your own best life now then? You know, why don't you just pretend you're in a VR and just push your own limits?
Because I'm broke.
Good point.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
But right now I'm going to make Angus cry because he's
cringe.
Not...
It'll cringe, okay. Not cry.
Oh, mate, trust me, you will cry when you hear these figures, right? I want to talk about the top TikTok earners in this world. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because there is a guy who has, I think he's just made just under $2
million. Yeah, $2.3 million. And he has never said a word, I don't think, on his TikTok.
He hasn't. And this is why I can't play anything on the radio because I'm
no
point. But literally what he does is say, for instance, if he finds a video of someone doing a very simple task in a very long-ended way, right? And then he will pull this facial expression of like, what, like it's almost like saying, why don't you just do it the normal way?
For an example, I think I saw one. It was a scientist was showing different ways using chemicals to heat up water.
Yes.
So it's like this long video from the scientist, including nitrogen and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he just goes over to a kettle, puts it on, and then goes, ta-da.
And the reason you've probably seen this is because a lot of TikTok content goes across onto Instagram.
That's the only way I see it. I respect TikTok as an app. I just don't like the people who use it.
His name is Carby Lame, 100 million followers, 1.5 billion likes on his video that he gets on TikTok. So, yeah, like you said, $2.3 million. And he only literally started TikTok 8 months ago.
Brilliant. Good on him.
The list of, I mean, I'm just going to play you some TikTok, like some songs that you'd associate with TikTok. I'm a savage. Right? Surely you would know the dance to this.
Oh, I've seen Madison Ray. I think that's her name. Dancing to this.
Addison Rae.
Addison
Rae. Yeah, well, of course. Top alley. What about this one? Now get your boots
hang your coat for this wet, wet, wet. The womp
yeah.
song.
Yes. Now, it's mainly the chorus bit that people will do the dance to. I just want you guys to know that the next five names that I read out have made millions of dollars, not because they've created the dances for these songs, but just because they're doing them.
But at the end of the day, when they die, what did they live for? What part of humanity did they benefit?
Kicking off at number five, at the end of these, I'm going to tell you how old these TikTokers are. Josh Richards makes $1.5 million off TikTok a year. He is 19 years of age.
Yeah, but what's he studying? Does he want to become a biochemical
number
engineer?
Number four, Lauren Gray, $2.8 million off TikTok with a net worth of $5 million.
But does she still have a childhood friend?
Dixie D'Amelio. Have you heard this
about
this
Charlie
chick?
And Dixie.
Okay, so
they crossed
sisters.
Over to Jimmy Fallon interviews. I've seen that.
So, okay, Dixie has 54.2 million followers. She makes $3 million off TikTok.
But does she know how much a litre of milk costs? No, she's lost grip with humanity.
Now, speaking of her younger sister.
When she gets to 30, she'll have a mental breakdown.
She has a younger sister who is 17 years of age. Her name is Charlie.
She's bigger
than her. She has 122.2 million followers, over 9.7 billion likes.
Does she have a healthy relationship with their grandparents?
$4 million annually, can make anywhere between $72,000 and $120,000 per sponsored post.
And she's bought her friends. It doesn't bother me. I don't care how much money they make. It's just like, what is your contribution to society? Where's your philanthropy?
Gosh, you sound like a bloody old man.
No,
a
I
dad.
Just sound like a person who doesn't want my kid to grow up in a world where you think the social norm is dancing for 30 seconds to someone else's music, someone else's choreography, and
dad,
earning money
from
it. You're
living in a delusional world if you don't think that that's like the way things are going to be. Seriously.
You're getting up with Dylan, Jules and Angus on Weekend Breakfast.
But right now on 13 10 60, give us a call if you've left something really expensive behind somewhere. Want to hear your stories on that. Now, I was talking to one of my girlfriends who isn't in a state that is locked down at the moment, so they're kind of, you know, free to do whatever they want. She's a single kind of girl.
Sure.
And I live vicariously through her life, right, because she's a bit more riskier than me. Anyway, she was telling me about a Hinge date that she went on.
Hinge being a dating app where you have to walk past someone to connect with them or something?
Yes. No. Hinge is just as typical as Tinder.
Oh, it started off being you have to make an actual connection. Now they've just gone full Tinder. Gotcha.
Yeah. So she did one of those. They'd been on a couple of dates and then it obviously led to other things.
Sure.
Well, after that first night of it leading to other things, he left and she noticed that he left a chain on her bedside table.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
She hooked up with Paulie D from Jersey Shore. Who has a chain as a bloke?
No, a gold one. A real one.
Oh, like
right?
a Cuban link? Like a ball?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. It's Paulie D.
Anyway.
Oh, God. This is classic. Your friend sounds like fun.
So she's messaged this guy. He didn't write back. She didn't say anything about the chain. She was just like, hey, you know, had a great time.
So he's like, oh,
he didn't
God.
Write back.
The girl from
she's
last
like,
night who
oh
I don't
God.
Want to hear again.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, he's ghosting me. And she's like, oh, well, at least I've got this chain. It's probably worth about 10 grand or whatever.
What?
After a few more days, he's messaged her and said, hey, how's it going? Sorry, I've been caught up with work, whatever. Mm. By any chance, did I leave my gold chain at your place the other night? And she's like, yeah, you did. And he's like, oh, thank God. It cost me $35,000.
Well, she's dating someone who's doing some illegal activities or is into cryptocurrency.
And so then he had to go back, right? Had to go back, pick it up.
Did they hook up again?
No, they didn't. Had a quick chat. She messaged him the next day to see how things were.
No response. Should have kept the chain, cash converters.
Everyone's been there in that, like, oh, not everyone, but, you know, when have you been at that moment where you have left something behind? You've, you know, you've been in a hotel, you've left something expensive in a hotel. Mm-hmm. What was it and where was it? I want to hear from you on 13, 10, 60.
Another example, totally different story, is there is a airport car park that has millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of supercars in Dubai.
From, of course.
Sheiks who just drove to the airport, dumped their Lamborghini and went and lived in the UK. They're so rich, they don't even care about the Lambos, the Ferraris, the Rolls Royces. The most expensive cars in the world, covered thick in dust.
What?
Just sitting there forevermore.
I was like, oh gosh, imagine that bloody airport auction.
131060, we want to know the expensive thing you left behind. Let's go to Sarah. What's the expensive thing you had to leave behind?
My expensive thing was my Kathmandu puffer jacket. And oh. I know it's not super expensive, but it's expensive to me. I'm a uni student.
Oh. Yes. Class. Tell you what.
Say yeah. you live in Melbourne without saying you live in Melbourne.
Yeah, I know, right?
In Sydney, it's the North Face.
Yeah, yeah, North Face over there. And then you open it up and you've got a Camilla and Mark shirt on. Classic. thank you, Sarah. Appreciate your call. Jess in Adelaide, expensive thing you left behind?
Yes. So I was at a festival and mm-hmm. I actually left my iPhone at a charging booth there.
Oh, girl. Oh, yeah. How did you forget that?
A few Smurf blacks.
Oh, my God. I was just so – I was having the fun with my friends mm-hmm. and, like, obviously needed it to be charged. Got to take those, like, you know, aesthetic photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just because I was just, yeah, so drunk, I just forgot that it was there. It was so scary.
Did you end up getting it back, babe?
Yeah, yeah. So they, I ended up contacting every person I could and they ended up being able to ship it back to me. But it was, yeah, it was hard living without my phone, I'll tell you that.
You're getting up with Dylan, Jules and Angus on Weekend Breakfast.